Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord together. Man, we appreciate you being here tonight. My son Micah sitting over here wondering what's going on. He doesn't like loud noises, but he liked that just fine. You know, as we thought about putting this together, Hines and I talked about the right place to do it, and we couldn't find it. We found places that would charge you a lot of money to come and have dinner with us tonight. We had places that would provide the space if we could get it catered, but that wasn't quite what was right. And we finally decided we are the NFL, and we meet at the Golden Corral. So here we are. We appreciate you being with us. As I've thought about different things today, I had a situation in the office that I won't tell you the details, but after it occurred, I got in the, Stacy, you probably know what it was. After I got in the car, I broke down and cried like a baby, thinking of the blessings that have come my way over the years, and even today in the parking lot, as I had one of the attendees come to me. As I get here, Hines says, you know, I went back to the archives. Let me show you what I've got here. September 25th, 1986, Bill Watkins of Watkins Industries, Watkins Freight Lines, shared his testimony here. Bill's no longer with us. Gone on to be with the Lord. Tom Sawyer, tremendous friend that helped us get this meeting started. Tremendous partner in the Atlanta Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, where he and I helped start luncheons around the city. No longer with us. Going on to be with the Lord. Billy Watson. No longer with us. Made his notoriety in the bars around the city of Atlanta. Billy's restaurants and bars. Come to know the Lord. Through a situation that the Lord set up that Lee Watson, his dad, and I sitting on the front bench at the Full Gospel Advance, and Lee says, Larry, you ever heard of Wayne Cochran? I said, yeah. He said, you know, Billy's been watching him on TV. I believe he'd get saved if he would talk to Billy. I said, Lee, you know what? My former roommate is Wayne Cochran's brother-in-law. I said, I'm going to call Chuck. His name is Chuck Powell. I'm going to call Chuck when I get home. I called Chuck and said, Chuck, I want to tell you something. Billy Watson has been watching Wayne Cochran on TV, sharing his testimony and preaching. And his dad says he believes he would get saved. Do you have a number where he could reach him? He said, Wayne is running revival at Northside Baptist Church here in Atlanta. I said, wow. He said, let me give you Mama's number. He's staying over there with Mama. I called Lee and I said, Lee, God is up to something. Here's a number where Billy can call and talk to Wayne Cochran. Billy called and Wayne Cochran said, of course, Billy says, Wayne, Billy Watson. He said, Billy, you shut up and listen to me. You're a sinner and you're going to go to hell if you don't get straightened out. You come to the church tomorrow night, and that night, Billy Watson walked the aisle and gave his life to the Lord. Folks, we don't have to be the one. We just have to be part of it. And I thank the Lord that he has enabled us over the last 25 years, Hines and I and the many other people that have been involved, enabled us to just be a part of touching lives. As we go through the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to have you out of here by 8 o'clock. We will give you permission to leave. Some of you probably will not want to leave, and that's okay, because I haven't eaten yet, and I'm going to eat then. But, you know, one of the things we want to do tonight is really give thanks for those that are here. A good friend, both to the luncheon and to Hines and me personally, is so supportive of this. And he's probably spoken at more prayer breakfasts around the nation, governor's prayer breakfast, mayor's prayer breakfast, than anybody else on record. and that's Colonel Nimrod McNair. Most of you know Colonel McNair, a fighter pilot in I don't know how many wars, and he crashed. And he crashed so many planes. If you hear his testimony of how, you say, "Wow, that's the reason our national debt is so high. All those planes." But I wanted to ask Colonel McNair to come up and share a couple of minutes with you and ask God's blessing on this meeting. Let's welcome Colonel McNair.
You know, I have to admit, this is an honor for me to be asked to be the one that kind of introduces this event tonight to the one that we all know, love, follow, and depend on, and I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of time, space, and history. So it's an honor, but before I do that, I want to off the cuff say a couple of things. You know, I came here from Chicago in 1977. Now, I'm not from Chicago. I come from a third world country, Alabama. And when I arrived here, I didn't know a lot of people. Oh, my name tag. Thank you. Now I know who I am. And I was asked to join this group and join that group and so on, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but I remember that I was walking down the airport one day, and I ran into a big old guy. His name was Mike McCoy. They had just exiled him from Erie, Pennsylvania, and he was down here. I said, "Mike, what are you doing here?" And so I met a friend. At least I thought he was at that time. And as time went by, I was asked to speak down at that crazy thing you guys go to. They call it Advance or something like that down at Eagle Rock. And I think that's where I met Larry Schrader, yeah. And then I, not long after that, I was up on Howard Mill Road at some sort of event where people were trying to get OPM, that's other people's money. And I think that's where I met Hines. And I heard a little bit about him, and I wondered why he was there, because he didn't have a good track record up at that point, I don't think, based on what I'd heard. But Nan's done a great job since then, and things have improved. And as time goes by, you know, even old Denny's sitting over there. Gosh, I hadn't seen Denny since he left Avon Products, I guess it was. Wasn't it Avon you were with? Yeah? Oh, okay. And I always marvel, you know, every time before the meeting ends here comes Diane. Well, I always wonder why she comes in just as everything's saying amen at these meetings. But, and on, I could go through the list, and I'll never forget the first time I met Mike over here. And I tried my best to keep him away from this meeting, but somehow he got the word and he came anyway. And what a character he is. And I needed a CPA, and I ran into a guy by the name of... let's see, what's your name? Oh, I named Lyman Godell. And Lyman kept me out of jail financially. And Chuck Wills, you don't know him, he's dead now, but he kept me out of jail legally. And so on and on it go. I could just name person after person. And then I got invited to come to this event. They said to hold his Shoney's. I said, what's a businessman doing at Shoney's? But they said, not only that, you have to be a business person to speak, and not only that, but they're kind of wild. They're always kind of Jesus freaks, they said. And so I went just out of curiosity, and what I liked about it was there was nothing I could join, no organization. All fighter pilots are individuals by nature, and we don't care for the groupie stuff. And so I just keep coming back every once in a while, because there's nothing better than hear a man get up and say, a businessman, how he came to find the peace, the joy, all the things that come from a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. And I'll never forget when old Philip gave his testimony had his story here, and we found out we were related to each other. We both come from Cherokee Indian backgrounds, and so I walked up to Philip and said, "Philip, we're kin folks. Let's have lunch." He looked at me like I was crazy, but and we've become good friends. I could go on and on and on, and so you'll forgive me for just kind of showing up at this meeting because for that reason alone. And the guy with the camera over there, all he ever does takes pictures. That's Gary Panisse. Watch out for him. And on it goes. And so I just would say thank you for allowing me over those years from the time it started in Shoney's just to show up, because I don't do anything. I just eat when I shouldn't and go home. And, of course, you know, Stacy Burton, I won't go into that subject too far, but it's always good to know how he wound up here, because he got tricked into going to that advanced thing or whatever it is down there at Eagle Rock, and his life changed as a result of that. I don't know. I hadn't talked to his wife later to see how he's doing. But is he doing all right now? Good. Okay. And I could go on with all these people, but let me just say thank you for allowing me to come to your meetings, because you don't have to, you know. And with that, let me talk to God just a little quick like, and so we can get on with the program. Thank you, Father, for these two men who cared enough to 25 years ago to get this thing going. And Father, when you get my age, you know you don't like to go to these 25-year-old anniversaries too much. But I thank you for still being here. And use this event tonight to show our appreciation, God, to these two men, but particularly to the one who guides their lives and indwells them and controls them. And like all of us, they fall short, but thank goodness everything we've ever done, everything we ever will be doing that's wrong has already been forgiven, and we're going to have to come to heaven with you whether we want to or not. Thank you for the families that are here tonight. Thank you for the food we've had, even though it's more than we needed. Now use the program for your glory. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Mac. Thanks, Larry. You know how you can tell if it's raining cats and dogs? Step on a poodle. 25 years of that. Let's all pray for Larry.
Lord, help.
You know,
they haven't gotten any better either.
Pardon?
They haven't gotten any better.
They haven't gotten any better. They're getting worse, actually, because I remember part of one and part of the other and try to put them together. But thank you for being here today. What a joy to thank Jesus for 25 years of fellowship, testimonies, and lives changed. And in the little handout here, let me just read the little thank you that Larry and I would like to express to all of you. We are thankful to Jesus, our family, especially Deborah and Nan. They know us the best and still love us, right? Right, okay, good, thank you. All who have helped us, all who have attended, and all who have spoken at the NFL these last 25 years. Our lives and our faith have been enriched by meeting so many people who love Jesus and who boldly proclaim him as Lord and Savior in all areas of their lives, including the marketplace. Thank you for attending tonight and helping us to remember and celebrate what Jesus has done during the many meetings we've had and the privilege of hosting since 1985. And that comes from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's just give you a hand here. Thank you. As I always start the meeting, this is the Norcross Fellowship luncheon dinner. We're not meeting in Norcross, and we're not having lunch. So the only thing, and so I don't, fellowship is the only common thing there.
They have Monday night football on Thursday night.
Monday night football on Thursday night. Yes, I think that's where we got that. Yep. I do have CDs, as Larry mentioned. I've got Larry's testimony that he gave a couple years ago. Also, a couple MP3s of the testimonies for 2003 and 2008, 2009. There are 75 testimonies on these two CDs. If you haven't gotten one of those, please get that. And also the CDs that Larry mentioned, Billy Watson and Leland Strange and Billy Watkins and Tom Sawyer. I've listened to these again, and they're just a blessing. I mean, just the luncheon started in 1985, actually, I came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior in 1980. I was an empty alcoholic and workaholic with no real meaning and purpose in life. I'd achieved a lot, but I was empty, and I'm glad for that because that turned me to Jesus. And a friend invited me to a Bible study where I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I was an alcoholic and a workaholic. I struggled for 3.5 years as an alcoholic and a believer, which is a tough combination there. But in 1984, my friend Clarence, who invited me to the meeting, the Bible study where I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, also invited me to Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And the speaker was Dr. John Clem. And as he shared, it moved my heart so much, I went up front for prayer. A couple of men prayed for me, asked what I wanted. I said, just a closer walk with Jesus. And as they began to pray, their hands felt like their... I closed my eyes, felt like their hands were going through my head, and just felt like I was in the presence of God. And after a long time, I opened my eyes, and I was flat on my back. And I had seen this on TV before, and I thought it was really goofy until it happened to me. Then I knew it was real. And as I picked myself off the floor, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, you'll never want to drink again. And that was March 3rd, 1984. And I've never had the desire or any alcoholic drink since then. That turned my life around so much, I got involved in a luncheon that another man that's with Jesus right now, Wes Walker, started. And they had it over in Roswell. Well, our offices were in Norcross at the time, and so I asked Linwood, after meeting there for many months, if maybe we could start a meeting in Norcross, and he connected Larry and me. We had lunch and talked about where we could have it. We started Uncle Albert's Country Buffet. For the first year, we didn't have a main speaker. We just had praise and worship. I brought my guitar in, and when attendance dropped about 3 or 4 people, I left the guitar at home, so... I didn't bring it tonight either for those of you who are getting nervous about now. So, yes, okay, thank you. Yes, praise the Lord. But what a joy it was to just be in fellowship. And then we began to line up speakers, and that's been the center of the luncheon ever since. We were initially affiliated with Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, but decided that it would be more open to just have it not be specifically involved with that. We support what Full Gospel does, and we have had many men go to the advance, and it's a wonderful organization that's doing a great work, but we're not affiliated with any organization or denomination. We've never had taken an offering for any of the meeting. The meetings have always been self-sustained, and it's because of locations that don't require a minimum, like Golden Corral and Shoney's and Mr. J's and the other Shoney's and East Ocean Chinese and Uncle Albert's. All of those but Golden Corral are out of business, and I'm praying for Golden Corral that they'll stick around a little longer. But we've been, the Shoney's, we were there for 14 years. Yeah. Yep. So what a blessing that was. And there's some statistics in here that really, also some names, people that have done such a tremendous job. And John, you made a video of, was it Steve Barkowski's testimony also? Anyway, John, I forgot to mention, John had also videoed another NFL meeting, and so he's one of the people here that I have listed with the audio setup, but. The people, the facts, approximately 1,200 meetings, and with an average of 20 per meeting, that's 24,000 people that have heard my bad jokes. And well, let's just close with a word of prayer for those poor people. It gets worse all the time. But anyway, and 900 speakers, 7 of those individually, several of those have spoken more than once, and just... And you know, Larry and I didn't have a long-term vision. We just had a passion for what God is doing here and just show up every week. And Larry does the reflection, has done a wonderful job of sharing a meditation. And I, my passion is to help line up the speakers and It's been a real team effort. Larry and I have become very, very good friends. And again, the celebration tonight is to thank Jesus for what he's done, because, you know, there's no matter what one would want to do in the flesh without the Lord involved in it, it wouldn't have lasted. And Jesus shows up all the time. People have gotten saved, gotten healed, all kinds of things that have happened here. So we're just rejoicing in that. So thank you for coming. Thank you for Nan and Deborah for their wonderful love and support for us over the years. And we just thank you all, your dear friends, and thank you for coming tonight. And I'm going to turn it back over to Larry because I ran out of jokes. So I ran out of jokes before I came.
I wasn't exactly ready to embrace you there. It reminds me of Mac. I used to try to hug Mac, and he said, "Don't hug men." Well, the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship is where we learn to hug men. In fact, I'll tell you how I got involved in that thing. I came to Atlanta with J.C. Penney. In fact, I was on the management staff that opened the store at North Lake Mall. I worked for Penney's while I was in college and went on the management training program and came to Atlanta really excited about my first real management job. I was married then, and about 4 years after we moved here, my ex-wife decided she didn't want to be married anymore. We were in a Baptist church, Eastside Baptist Church, and I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand how Christian people could go through that. I said, "Well, man, I don't have any control. The only thing that I can count on is my job." Got up every morning, went to work. Went home, went to bed. Got up, went to work. Went home and went to bed. I totally enveloped myself in the job there for a couple of years. And I think back on that and think, what warped thinking? Thinking the job will never let me down. That's kind of what I thought. And we see people today that have invested their whole life in companies, and just before retirement, they're saying, "We don't need you anymore." We're in a world of uncertainty that we've never seen before. And it is really peaceful for me to know that that's not where my security is. My security is in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My relationship with God ensures me that there's a way. And there's a way for us to have the influence on others that we need to have during this time. I feel so positive about what takes place each week at the luncheon here, where we can get away from the rat race and we can really focus for an hour on, or 50 minutes. We start the luncheon at 10 after 12 and we're done at 1 o'clock. But the idea that we can forget all that. My heartache is that many people do not realize that that can happen in your living room when you get alone with God. Or that can happen in your office at work if you get alone with God. I think of the times that I thought I would never get married again. And I was visiting a neighbor and had a little Dachshund puppy run across. You asked me what kind of dog that was. That's one of those weenie dogs, you know. Ran across the yard, and I picked the dog up and took it back to its owner, whose name was Deborah. I introduced myself to Deborah and said, "Let's go out sometime. Maybe we could go out with dinner with the wolves that live next door." She said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. How about Friday night?" I can't do it. I'm ushering at DeKalb College graduation. Okay. Let me figure something out. I went back and said, "Walter," she said, "should we go out?" He said, "Well, let's go to the Braves game Monday night. It's a holiday and have fireworks." I went back over and asked her, and we did. We went to the Braves game. And something, as kind of a side note, that game was won in the bottom of the ninth by Biff Pokoroba, the catcher, hitting a double, and the Braves won the game. Less than a year ago, I'm over at the collision center on Arcado Road. Went back to pick up my car, and I hear a guy sitting at the desk talking about the Braves. So I said, are you with the Braves? He said, not anymore. I used to be. He stood and introduced himself, Biff Pocoroba. I said, wow, you're not going to believe, Biff, what took place. On the first date I was with my wife, you hit a double in the bottom of the ninth, and he said, wow. He probably didn't remember it, but I did. I said, would you write a note to Deborah and just let her know I met you? He said, I'll do better than that. I'll get one of my cards out of the truck, one of his baseball cards. Got it and signed it. Just side note. You never can tell. You never can tell. But, you know, we went home that night, and I remember we stopped at the IHOP, and Deborah says, man, I'd just like to have a huge bowl of whipped cream. All right, waitress, huge bowl of whipped cream, please. What? Whipped cream? She wants whipped cream. Bought her. I had to impress her. I was impressed with her. The next thing she did was invite me to a breakfast on Saturday morning. She said, it's a businessman's breakfast. And I said, fine. And she said, it's Christian businessman. That's good. That's fine. Turns out her dad, Linwood Maddox, was the president of the Atlanta chapter of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. I went there and heard Paul Yarbrough speak, who was a car dealer, a Ford dealer out of Dallas, Texas. And he talked so much like Jerry Clower. If you closed your eyes, you would think it was Jerry Clower there. The humor that he spoke with and the good time we had. And then as he gave the invitation for you to turn your life over to the Lord, I experienced something I never experienced before. Next thing, I go to church with Deborah, Mount Perrin Church of God. I've always been in the Baptist church. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, man, I've got chills as we're doing the invitation. And I look at the air ducts and think they've got the air conditioner focused on me, so it makes chills come down. It was a whole new experience for me at Mount Perrin Church of God. And Deborah and I dated for less than 2 years. And decided we were going to get married. We did that. And we went to a meeting on April 29th. Don't remember the year. But Demas Shakarian was the speaker. He was the founder of Full Gospel. Now the testimonies that they do at those Full Gospel meetings are published in a magazine called The Voice Magazine. Now Heinz has invited you to pick up the CDs here at no charge. If you want to look through here and take one of these home with you, feel free to do so. You will read about the testimonies of businessmen. As Demas spoke that day, Deborah and I were sitting there, and Art Nassessian was the executive vice president at that time of Full Gospel. And at the end of the meeting, he made his way toward our table, and I knew he was coming to me. And I raised my hands and just said, Lord, take me and use me. By that time, he's there and laid his hand on my head. I started praising the Lord and started weeping. And I didn't know until after the meeting when Bonnie Maddox came to me, Deborah's mother, said, Larry, you received the baptism. Go home and read the book of Acts. I went home and read the book of Acts, and I didn't know that book was in there. It's like they put some new stories in there that I never understood before. I had the tickets to the Road Atlanta. J.C. Penney was sponsoring that race, or one of the sponsors, and we had tickets to get us into the pit passes, a pit pass where we can get into the pits, where Paul Newman and a lot of the famous drivers were. We could go back there. I didn't want to go. I went next door and asked Bob, did he want those tickets to Road Atlanta that afternoon? He looked at tickets and said, man, these are awesome tickets. What are you doing giving those away? I said, well, Bob, I had an experience this morning I'd never had before. I went to a meeting, and that gave me the opportunity to share my first part of the testimony about understanding God in a different way. I said, I've got the rest of a book called Acts in the Bible that I got to finish reading this afternoon. A few months later, they had a convention. Frank Phillips, I don't think he ever spoke here, as a matter of fact, but Frank Phillips was one of the officers of the Atlanta chapter. He had a company called Jiffy John. It provided portable toilets for construction sites. He said, Larry, I want you to help me in the prayer room during this convention. I got up on that morning and thought, oh no, I know he's going to ask me to say something. And as I was shaving and looking in the mirror, I was weeping and thinking, oh man, I don't have anything to say. I went over and opened the Bible, and it opened to the book of Matthew. And what it said that morning as we were in the hotel room, and turned over to Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is not a hill cannot be on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I thought, wow, what am I supposed to do with that? I walked in that room down there, and Frank Phillips says, well, there comes Larry. Come on up here, Larry. You've already been with the Lord, I can tell. And I got to share with him exactly what I just shared with you. And I thought, man, this is not so hard. If you look in the right place, and if you're doing the right thing, you got a story to tell. And I want to tell you that tonight, too. For everybody here, you've got a story to tell. And God will put you in a place where that will have impact on others. Because God's timing is so important. As we recognize God's timing for me to meet Deborah. In fact, Andy Stanley, Hines used to bring the CDs in where Andy had spoken. There was one where he encouraged everybody to write a letter to the person that was instrumental in their salvation. And I thought of the person that was instrumental, not in my salvation necessarily, but in my really getting full grown in my relationship with God. And that was Deborah. And I thought, think about a second date with a guy and you invite him to one of those charismatic meetings. That's pretty risky, right? But you know what I learned from that? I kind of let people know early in my relationship with them what's important to me, my relationship with God, and what kind of guy I am. And I didn't realize I'd learned that from that until just now. But if I got off on that foot to start with, Deborah set that example because she knew it was important to her and her family. And I guess my reaction to that meeting was part of the testing, if you will, to see if I might be right for her. As we went on, and of course we had our children, I think that I've looked through the hardships, I've looked through the good times, and I look for the consistency that we've had right here in this meeting every week. In 04, I had colon cancer. Stage 3, it was in my lymph nodes, and I never feared. I came through it without any problem, and that's been 6 years ago. But this luncheon was always on my mind. I wasn't here every time, but Hines and the group here were constantly praying for me. I never had a fear of not recovering from that. As I've gone through financial tests, financial trials, relationship trials, the things that come at us, it's hard for me to understand how anybody can make it without God. This past week, I got word, Caleb called me and told me about his travel team baseball coach that had gone the wrong way. He had made a lot of money in the oil business. He was working over in Russia a lot, making a lot of money, and he ended up having a girlfriend. Actually divorced his wife. He committed suicide this past week. And as Caleb called me to tell me about that, I said, Caleb, you can see so clearly the devil in that. The demons will work you over, man, if you're not founded on something really solid. You know, we have the opportunity to meet here each week and share those stories that will edify others that are in our presence. I think as we learned that we really can have an impact on others, it encourages us not only to do it again, but to have them do it again also. I think back, Mac was talking about meeting Mike McCoy in the airport. I remember there at Shoney's when I first met Mike McCoy. Came in and he said, "I'm looking for an NFL meeting." Yep. That's right. Hey, Mike, stand up. Look how big Mike is, okay? Now, I said, are you a football player? He said, "I was." I said, "What's your name?" "Mike McCoy." "Mike McCoy? Man, I watched you at Notre Dame. You were an All-American. I watched you play." Yeah, get it right, yeah. In fact, Mike, tell us about how you came to the meeting and share with
me. About that. It's great to be at the National Football League luncheon and dinner. I get confused. But I think it could have been through Mac, or I read something somewhere that different meetings are going on, because I moved here in 1989 from Erie, Pennsylvania. Didn't know very many people other than my friend Monty Johnson that I played with the Raiders, and came down here with ministry. And so I was kind of looking for some fellowship and some meetings to go to, and saw this flyer or something about the NFL thing. And of course, the NFL stood out for me, and Norcross Fellowship Luncheon, and I went to that. I think it was probably in the mid-90s, maybe early 90s, and really enjoyed it. Enjoyed meeting Heinz and Larry, and then Stacy came along, and then Mac and Tim and Mikey and everybody else, and everybody else that was involved at that time, and a lot of them are here tonight. And so it was really good for me because I traveled so much. It was good to come and to hear other businessmen testimonies where I'm not on the platform, where I'm getting fed.
Yeah, tell us what you do with that.
Yeah, well, let me finish this one story, okay? And every time that I would come home, and it would be Wednesday, and I had a lot of things to do, sitting in my office in Lawrenceville, I said, "I don't know if I'm going to go." Every time that I hesitated, but I went, I received a blessing. Because whoever was speaking that day, I needed to hear. And so I got a lot out of the luncheons and the support and prayers of everybody that was involved, still involved today. And it's just been a really big thing in my life. So Heinz and Larry, thank you for the vision. And thank you, Nan, for all those years you came and brought the mic and all that stuff, and taking up your office time and your business time to do that. And I think the Lord's blessed both of you for that. And so I do appreciate you guys taking that leadership role, listening to God as he talked to your heart and says, "You know, we want to start something up here in Norcross." And there's been much fruit that you don't even know about, I don't think. And that we'll know on the other side. I got downsized in April. I was with Bill Glass Ministries for 19 years. And change is tough when you're 61, 62. But about 2 years ago, I was in Marin County, right during the crash in 2008, and just turned 60. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm getting like Heinz, you know, I'm getting old." And I said, "Man, it just kind of hit me, and I got depressed real quick, you know." No, not really. I just prayed a prayer. I was at a Catholic school. That's my background. And I said, "You know, Lord, if I can finish my ministry time, what you want to do through me, just speaking in Catholic school," I think I kind of like that. And I said that prayer in October of 2008. And last year I spoke to 10,000 Catholic kids, and that's all I'm doing now. So it's been a really...
You know, Mike talked about, he mentioned, we don't know how many people we've impacted. Jim Daniels used to come here often. In fact, he came up to me after a meeting, and he said, "Larry, you just never know until you get to heaven how many people this luncheon has impacted." I suddenly had a vision. My eyes started tearing up, and I saw myself approaching heaven, and the family was there to greet me. And behind me was just a multitude of faces out there. And I can think of that today. Today, Stacy said that he called Jim Daniels. In fact, why don't you stand, Stacy? Because Jim was responsible for bringing Stacy here. Mark Myers had introduced Jim to the meeting, and stand up and tell us about that, Stacy.
Yeah, well, Jim Daniels was one of our agents at our office, real estate office, and He said, come on, I'm going to take you to a luncheon. And I said, what? And he said, the NFL. And so, boom, I said, that's all for me because my background was teaching and coaching and real estate. That's all I ever knew, football and real estate. So I said, that's good for me. And the first person I came in, Mike McCoy. Again, I said, Mike McCoy, Green Bay Packers, what I thought of right then. But it kind of bothered me because I had never been around grown men hugging each other. And being a former, not a former, being a Marine and a football coach and all was that, it kind of bothered me a little bit. And I backed off down there. It was at Shawnee's. It was 18 years ago. And Jim Daniels was smiling, and he was hugging each other, and he was one of our agents. I was beginning to wonder about him, too. But anyways, I called him yesterday to thank him for inviting me to this meeting. And he called me back today. He said, I can't tell you how I miss that meeting. He said, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you calling. And say, he said, I had one of the worst days yesterday that I had. When I got your call, he said, I was so uplifted and fired up. He said, we just need to stick together. And that's what this meeting has been every Wednesday. It's just a little over the hump. They talk about hump day. This is hump day. And what businessmen and women do, and they come and fellowship together. And it's just been hats off to you and I. Praise the Lord.
One of the things that Hines, I mentioned Tom Sawyer earlier, how we used to set up the luncheons around the city for Full Gospel. Hines and I really had hoped that people would take what we're doing here, that a couple of men would come together, and I do feel like it takes a couple of committed men, Christian men, that will put above their wills God's will. You know, I was telling George a little earlier how we've been through times where we didn't exactly agree on things, but we never lost respect for each other, and we tried things to see if they worked, and we always go back to what worked, you know, what was in the beginning. One of the things that has happened is an Austell Fellowship luncheon. Gary Pernice has started a luncheon, and he calls it AFL. In fact, Gary, why don't you stand right where you are and tell us about the AFL and what inspired you to start that.
Well, okay? It's easy. About 2 years ago, it was January, and Larry got up here at the NFL, and he said, you know, sometimes you wonder if we really have had any kind of an impact. You really just wonder, because it's so kind of, you know, nebulous, you don't know. And I thought about that for about a week, and I came back the next week, and we had an open mic. And I said, I can answer that question, absolutely. I cannot tell you qualitatively what it is, or quantitatively, but I can tell you qualitatively, when I don't come to the luncheon, I feel like I miss something. I drive 80-some miles round trip when I come, and I feel like I get something. And I do things to plan my business around it, but I try to come. In November of last year, Bill Timberlake and I decided we felt we needed to do something in ministry. We wanted to do something in the marketplace. And I had mentioned to him what we do at NFL. And we decided that that sounded like the plan for us. We did a lot of prayer. We consulted with a lot of people. And we decided in April we were going to start something. So I came and talked to Hines. I talked with Larry with their blessing and their approval. We do it a little different. But it came from this place and this idea. And we kind of mixed it up a little bit. But we're on the other side of the city. And the first several speakers we had were really prominent people that blessed us and launched us. This last week, we had 28 people at our luncheon, and we're only into our fifth month, and it's just growing and going. And now I end up going to two lunches a week, and I feel like I know something. But this was a blessing, and I know that it's got a purpose, and I know that it works, because I'm a little richer for both of these luncheons. When we go to them, we walk away. I'm lifted up. I'm ready to go. I can take on the battles again. And the people we've met, you cannot put up... I don't know how you put a price to it. It's just phenomenal, the people that we've met. I see almost in this room, almost everybody that I know, and somehow have impacted our lives in some way, in business or personal or friendship. It's been a blessing. It works.
You're rich.
Something you said there.
Gary, it makes me think very much what Philip Saxton has said about when he misses a week and he ends up coming back. He talks about how much he missed it, how much he misses it when he's not here. In fact, stand, Philip, and share with us what the lunch has been to you, how long you've been coming.
I really don't remember how long it's been coming. I think it's been 6 years or so, almost since you started meeting here. But the biggest thing that I get out of this is what I'm feeling right now, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when I don't come, I don't have that opportunity to fellowship and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit like I do when I come here on Wednesdays. And I just thank you, Larry and Hines, for what you've done, the impact that you've had, not only on my life, but on many, many other people's lives who come here. Sometimes we see people for one or two or three times, and then we don't see them anymore. And that's because one of the things that happens here that hasn't been mentioned yet is that a lot of people come who are looking for a job. Mm-hmm. We call them going through job transition. Mm-hmm. And we give them the opportunity to stand up and introduce themselves and make some connections. And a lot of those people find jobs through this. God has blessed them tremendously. And I can remember one time a man talked about looking for a job and how tough it was. And I just went up to him and gave him a hug and said, God is going to give you a job. And he just immediately started crying and he felt so much better as a result of it. So thank you so much.
A while after we got this meeting started, some of the executives from the different corporations started coming. There was a company called Network Communications. They published real estate magazines and did a lot of advertising. Their CFO or their financial person is in our presence today. Ron Boat. And Lyman Gardell started coming to the luncheon while they were employed there. Well, sometime after that, they downsized. In fact, I'll let Lyman tell that story. He's up in Knoxville now, and up in Knoxville, they've got a KFL. I don't know how involved Lyman is with it, but one thing Lyman has done is Godell.com has been a source of a lot of people finding the luncheon.
Just real quickly, George, you helped get the Knoxville luncheon going, didn't you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
That actually started because I want to do the same thing. Hines always records your testimony. So I took my testimony that Hines recorded, and I made a bunch of copies, and I went up to one of my mentors in Knoxville, and I gave him a copy, and we got that thing started up there. It's been going 2.5 years now.
Awesome.
And you know, the only other thing I guess you don't have to be a famous football player or win 3 world wars like Matt. Wherever you are, just like me and Hines, specialized in closing the bar, you have an area of influence. Whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, wherever you are, you have an area of influence, and sometimes it can just be a CD that you pass along. You never know.
Go ahead and stand. Lyman does live up in Knoxville, and that's the reason I associate. But I remember now that you called my attention. You were the instigator of getting that started.
You want me to stand over there?
Yeah, just wait.
Okay. Well, I'm the Godell.com guy. Some of you know me from when I used to come here way back when at the old Shoney's over there. I brought Ron Bolt to that meeting. Ron was the in charge of HR for Network Communications, the real estate book. You're familiar with that. You know that. And I was the chief financial officer. And we started coming here, and when job changed, I went to Job Seekers and met Denny Brown, who's sitting back there. And we used to call him Downtown Denny Brown. And John Vaden and I became John. Did a half hour or an hour of the Job Seekers meeting on Friday mornings, and I was John Vaden's straight man and worked the technology there. And as part of what I was doing in my CPA business, I did websites, and set up Godel.com, and a piece of that was job information, and that's going on still. I set up a Yahoo group to pass leads back and forth. There are over 3,500 members of that group today, and it's been going on for over 10 years. We do have the calendar of all of the networking events in Atlanta on Godel.com. Tonight's meeting is up there, as well as every Wednesday meeting. That's where these folks are finding it. We get, on the average, it's dropped off considerably since I haven't been in Atlanta, but we get over 3,000 people a month visiting that calendar. So you can see that the Lord is getting some exposure through the web in that manner. But I'm up in Knoxville, and I moved up there 6 years ago, I think. And the reason for that was my wife at that time, family was from Knoxville, and we wanted to get Lila, as Denny knows Lila, wanted to get her around family. And cancer followed us there, and Carol, my wife at that time, passed away a few years ago, and the Lord the Lord is strong in my life. And the Lord has blessed me with Angela and as Larry says, you never know. If you let God into your life, God will fix it. And God has fixed many people who have lost their jobs through the job seeker movement that Danny founded, one of the founders, Ryan Ray's continuing on with Crossroad Career groups now. I'm trying to get that group started at the Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church in Knoxville. So God moves strongly in your life if you just let him in and just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me. And you've heard me tell stories about how God sets my appointments for me in my practice. Remember one day I was driving from one appointment to another trying to get across 285 when I practiced here in Atlanta. And I had a conflict, and there was no way I was going to get to that appointment on time. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. It's you fix it. And that's the way I talk with my personal Savior. He rides with me in the car, and I talk with him. But when I was here in Atlanta, 285, I could just get around that without a hassle, as long as God was with me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. You fix it. And the cell phone rang. And it was my client that I was trying to get to and trying to figure out a way to make an excuse as to why I couldn't keep the appointment. And the client said to me, lineman, would it be all right if we changed our appointment to another time? So, see, even more in business and your personal life, God just walks with me all the time.
Introduce yourself, Mike. You haven't been here in so long, people don't know you.
Yeah, and I wish we weren't that far away and we could make it here more frequently. A lot of people in this room know me. I grew up with a lot of people in this room. I came kicking and screaming in this meeting thanks to Denny McCarthy and Gary Gibbs. I was going to leave you with a thought. It falls right on what Gary had to share. Everybody in this room's lives have been changed positively because of the NFL, because of the friendships that were made, and how God worked in your life with people in this room and speakers that came and words that were said and reemphasized. But let me give you one. I've never forgotten this, but I don't think of it often enough. Do you remember the gentleman that came and talked about how he starts every meeting? He always, and Larry used to talk about this a lot. You start every business meeting with a prayer. It doesn't make any difference whether the people in the room are believers or non-believers or Jewish or Methodist or Baptist or, you know, whatever, or Catholics even. They would start the meeting with a little prayer. And that was talked about, I started coming before there was dirt, so it was a long time ago, back in 91. But everybody kept, we used to talk about it from time to time. Everybody said, you know, when you do that, before you start a meeting, it could be any kind of meeting. It could be a meeting of a bunch of people in church trying to decide something. Doesn't necessarily have to be a business meeting, but a meeting. They said things went better. And where there was perceived there was going to be difficulty. Well, the point is by coming, and Gary was talking about the fact that his day, his week, he's just better when he attends the lunch. So here's my thought for you. Our family is so much richer because of this lunch. And Mike McCoy knows exactly, God bless him, what I'm talking about. And I can't thank him enough. Everybody in this room knows somebody that would benefit by being in this lunch. I'm going to give you a thought. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Invite them to go to lunch next Wednesday. And you yourself benefit, and come to the NFL here at Tony's. And bring somebody new to this meeting, because that's how I got here, and that's how Mike McCoy got here. You know, and my guess is that's probably how Patty and Janet got here, right? Because somebody invited us to come, and Tim, I know that's how Tim got here, because he got invited. So enrich somebody else's life and bring them here, and I can't say thank you enough to Larry and Hines for what you meant to Barbie and me and our family. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, it would not be possible without the Lord's blessing. And we do not have a choice in the thing. I mean, we really don't have an option, Hines, because we know that we would be out of the Lord's will if we stopped this. In fact, when Shoney's closed, and I called Hines and told him that it was closed on Thursday after we had the meeting there on Wednesday, I said, well, I guess that ran the course. Hines said, oh, no, we got to find somewhere else. And I said, well, you got any ideas? And he said, well, some of the Golden Corrals have a room. I said, there's one over on Satellite. Let me call them. I called him and talked to the manager and told him what we had in mind. He said, sure, we got a room. So Stacy Burton and Jeannie, Hines and Nan and I came over and had lunch here. We decided, yeah, this will work. Didn't have doors then. They put the doors up for us. We walked outside, and as I looked around and I looked at the car dealership across the street, I looked at the office part to the right, the office building. I looked behind me and saw the mall. And I thought of the scripture, the fields are white and the workers are few. That's the message today. Never has there been a greater opportunity to share what is real and what will carry us through the uncertainty. Never has there been a time that we should be reaching out more than right now to people that are hurting. And they're not letting you know where they're hurting. But we know the one that's got the answer to all of it. What a time to be in marketplace ministry. What a time to recognize that we individually can make difference. We can make the difference in lives. One of the persons that's been so faithful in the luncheon all this time is Larry Okeson. Larry, won't you make your way up here to close the meeting, share a few words if you want to. Larry has always brought the name tags and been here. He's been so supportive. He brings a lot of people and recommends it to many more people. Let's give Larry Okeson a hand.
Okay, then I'll call on Stacy when I'm done. I came down in 1986 from Minneapolis. And we had a group just like this every Wednesday. And I came down here and I couldn't find a group like this one. I was in a CBMC, Christian Businessmen's Group, and they only had a luncheon once a month. I miss every Wednesday. And about a year later, I found this group. And I was so excited. My job is I'm a headhunter, a recruiter, and I get all these people coming into my office that are out of work and discouraged. And I would say, oh, come with me to this luncheon and bring your resume along. So I probably have taken about 300 or 400 people, no more than that, maybe 500 people I've invited to this luncheon over the last 20 years. So it's been, and a few of them I paid for their lunch. But it's been a really blessing for me. I'm not an evangelist myself, but they can come and hear Larry and Heinz and the guest speaker share their testimony. But one thing I found when I got here was we'd come every week and we wouldn't remember people's names. We'd just say, hi, how are you? And so I started buying name tags, 1,000 at a time, and I'd pass them out to everybody and make sure. And so pretty soon we all got to know each other and built it, really improved that fellowship. So I've really enjoyed that time together. And Stacy has a closing remark, and then Stacy, you can close in prayer. Come on up.
Stacy and several others have been doing a little bit of planning. The first person that I want to recognize is Deborah. Thank you, Deborah, for being the person behind Larry. We really appreciate it. And I'll never forget you now because whenever I see whipped cream. That's probably what it did. And the other person I want to invite up is Nan. Nan, would you come up? Yay. Nan is Heinz's wife, and we wanted to give you these roses for two reasons. One is that she actually does the administrative work behind NFL. She prepares a flyer for us every week. And that flyer ends up on the internet, and so we really appreciate the work and dedication that you have shown this and the support that you've done. And so the guys got together and they wanted you to have these roses. Oh, but there's another reason too, and that is we only have to listen to Heinz's joke once a week, but you've got to listen to him 7 days a week. So these roses are really for that. Let's turn around and take a picture.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And his jokes aren't that bad.
Well, let me close with a word of prayer then. You're not done.
Did you
want to
tell a quick joke?
No. Well, Larry, Heinz, we kid him about his bad jokes, but he has never done anything as corny as I did when I was first asked to give my testimony, and it's a true story. We show up at Shawnee's one day, and there's a water ski standing right there. It was part of my testimony. Mike had said, or someone had said, Rock Eagle, it changed my life. Coming to this meeting, it changed my life. It just seemed, it was not a burn and crash type thing. It was just a continuous stepping into my life, and not leaving, but staying there. Started coming to this meeting on a regular basis. Saw an old friend, Franklin Jones, hadn't seen in a while, in real estate together. Then we saw other people together. And then Tom, he's over there, found out he was in the Marines. And then George's in the Marines. We got a birthday next month. That was the type of fellowship I thought. Well, then the Holy Spirit shows up every Wednesday. So Heinz's jokes are not that corny. I'm the only one that's ever brought a water ski to a testimony, I can tell you that, and that's a whole nother story. But we are so thankful for Heinz and Larry, and as a group, we got together and wanted to give them a little something. We thought, well, flowers, you know, that's kind of like hugging, you know, when you come to the NFL. We don't want to do that. So we thought, well, we'll get a little plaque or something like that. So Heinz and Larry, would y'all come up, please? So what I'd like to do, Larry, I'm going to give this to you, and one of you read what is on it, the inscription on it. Is that one yours, Larry?
It is. NFL Norcross Fellowship Luncheon.
Here, right here. For 25 years of prayerful and faithful dedication to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the many businessmen and women whose lives have been changed around the world.
That's powerful.
We just want to give this little token of our appreciation, and we just love them so much, and thank you, and 25 more years, and maybe we'll be done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Stacy. Now, can I close with a word of prayer? Oh, and thank you, Patty, too. Patty mentioned that she should. May we open this?
Yeah, because it's from the.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Spoke very freely about Jesus, and Hines was the CEO of the company, and he could not believe it. So when his job ended in Florida, he got his transfer down there and came back. I said, go see that man, Hines. Go to that luncheon. So he called Hines up, and then one day he called you, Hines, and said, how do I become a Christian? And then both Larry and Hines were there. They invited him to the Full Gospel Businessman's Advance. And there, along with Stacy Burton, several of you were there with him. He accepted the Lord and helped mentoring him. I want to thank both of you. And they were there with him in his last breath. Hines was there that night. But he would come and talk to Tom in his hospital bed at home. And so he was there with his new birth in Christ. And he was there when he transitioned from this life to the next. And so my hat goes off to both of you. And then through you guys leading Tom to the Lord, we met Todd and Janet, and both of them came to the Lord. We met them in the Holiday Inn in a bar after work. And so we'd just like to thank you. And so this is a present from the Norcross Fellowship Church that we attended, but also it speaks volumes about both of you and your wonderful servanthood and faith.
Amen.
We'd like to
Amen.
Open it up. There's one for both of you.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, yes, if you can read what it says.
Yes, for God is not...
Turn the mic. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and love which you have shown for his name's sake in ministering to the needs of his saints as you still do. Faithful servant, we thank God at every remembrance of you. It is God himself who made you who you are and has given you new life from Christ Jesus, and long ago he planned that you should spend your life in helping others. Ephesians 2:10. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Well, thank you, everybody, and it's really a joy to be here. This is kind of like a family reunion, except better. Yeah. And you know, thank you. Thank you, Gary. I love to hear testimonies. And Jeff Clement, who spoke last Wednesday, said that he had a father who was an atheist and an avowed against God and everything. And he said his father had a terminal illness and was about to die. And he said, suddenly the word lost had a name to it. It was Daddy. It was his daddy. And, he went to minister to his dad, and he believes that as he took his last breath, he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we all have somebody that's lost, that has a name. And it's so powerful to be on your knees and praying, lifting those people up, and then witness the love of Jesus to them.
every chance you get. Love them where they're at. As an old alcoholic, workaholic, I wasn't a very lovable person, but had an angel named Clarence who wouldn't let me go. And he came after me until finally Jesus got a hold of me, and my life hasn't been the same. I also believe that Christianity is not just about a bunch of ideas, it's about the supernatural. And I believe that, as Philip said, the Holy Spirit is here at our meetings and tonight. I had a little talk with my my dad's neighbor. My mom passed away a little over a year ago, and he had some health issues. He was having some problems, and so I shared with him about the Lord, and I said, "You know what, Clyde? I said, I'd like to pray for you if that's okay." And I said, "Lord Jesus, would you heal my friend Clyde?" And there was this tremendous silence at the other end of the line. And I almost thought the phone had disconnected, but Clyde was still there. He was deeply touched. I called my dad just a couple days ago. Clyde was supposed to go in for surgery. The doctor said he doesn't need surgery. He's to come back in a year and have, yes, amen. And so in closing, I just believe God is going to do a work even tonight. And as I close in prayer, I'm going to ask that Jesus, would you heal my friends here that need a healing touch tonight? Would you meet the needs of those that are hurting right now? And that Lord Jesus, you would come and move through us, because we know you're real, and we know that you can heal and save and deliver. And so, Lord Jesus, just continue to do a work in this room, even as we fellowship a little bit this evening. Lord, just pray your healing touch on every person here that has a need. And thank you for what you're doing in this luncheon, for my wonderful wife Nan, and for Larry and his wife Deborah, and Lord, just all the friends that we've made. Father, help us to continue to share the good news of Jesus with those out there that need to know him as Lord and Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.